Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour. This is David Corey along with my co-host, Richard Hurley. Thank you for joining us this evening. Hello, Richard.
Hello, David, and good evening to our listeners. Tonight we have another newsworthy show, and it ought to be very entertaining as we are welcoming our guest, Matthew Williams, who is a veteran. He's a recipient of the Purple Heart for Valor during his service in the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. But now he's a singer and songwriter. He's married and the father of two children. Matt has been a client of Corey and Hurley's. And during the course of his representation, Matt received 100% disability compensation as a result of the service connected for PTSD, that's post-traumatic stress disorder. I want to remind everybody that June is PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder month, awareness month. And we're going to talk to Matt about PTSD, what happened in service that contributed to his PTSD, and how he copes with PTSD. I think you're going to find it very interesting. You're going to hear a lot about his music. But first, David, I think we have some VA news from the past week. Please share with us what's going on.
Yes, that's right, Richard. VA Secretary Dr. Shulkin unveiled a proposed VA budget for fiscal year 2018 that would cut individual unemployability, sometimes referred to as IU or TDIU, benefits for thousands of veterans who are age 62 years and older. Under current VA rules, disabled veterans who are rated between 60 and 90% can, in some situations, have their rating increased to 100%. If their service-connected disabilities keep them from holding substantially gainful employment. Now, these proposed budget cuts, which Secretary Shulkin recently announced, if they're incorporated into the final budget, would stop the VA payment of individual unemployability benefits as soon as the veteran reaches the age of 62, which, coincidentally, is the youngest age upon which a person can receive Social Security retirement payments. Now, our law firm opposes this new provision or this proposal because of what we believe is the unfair financial hardship it would impose upon those veterans and their families. Now, at the VA House committee hearing on May the 24th, Secretary Shulkin defended his proposal for the new provisions by stating, and I quote, he said, "I think people can understand paying veterans who are above the age 80 unemployment benefits isn't what makes sense to the average American," unquote. However, I would point out that what does not make sense is that there are approximately only 7,000 veterans who are over the age 80 who are receiving the individual unemployability benefit. And on the other hand, there are approximately 218,000 veterans who are between the age of 62 and 79, and who would be losing this important benefit as well. I think the average American would agree that the impact of cutting this benefit for approximately 218,000 plus veterans and for future veterans does not make sense. This is not only about the 7,000 veterans that Dr. Shulkin seemed to focus on, but also a couple hundred thousand more. Now, Social Security retirement, as people know, is based on how much a person has earned during his or her time working, and a person who's been unable to work has therefore paid less into the system and would receive less of Social Security retirement. We also know that the VA is notorious for issuing low disability ratings, so this proposal would be another reason why veterans would need to fight for a 100% rating based on the rating schedule rather than rely on the concept of individual unemployability. And finally, recipients of individual unemployability benefits are some of the most severely disabled veterans in the country, with disability ratings ranging from 60 to 90%. Dr. Shulkin's proposed budget idea would also affect many surviving spouses and children of veterans, because under current law, if a veteran is rated 100% disabled for 10 years immediately preceding his or her death, the surviving spouse or minor children are eligible for what's known as dependency and indemnity compensation benefits. But if the proposed budget passes, those benefits may be cut unless they qualify under some other basis, like if the death is service-connected. Now, Dr. Shulkin said the money saved by this proposal would be used for other VA programs, but our point is, regardless of how that money might be used or allocated, it's a bad proposal, it's bad policy, and it's grossly unfair to veterans. Another issue of great importance to veterans is something we've talked about the last several weeks on our show, which is the proposed legislation to change the VA appeal system. It's called, the legislation is called the Veterans Appeals Improvement and Modernization Act of 2017. Listen to our recorded shows on our archive podcast for the last few weeks, and you'll hear more about it. So, Richard, that's the most current news from Washington, D.C. We'll keep an eye on developments. So let's move on and get to our guest tonight, Matt Williams.
Awesome. Thank you very much, David. That's pretty amazing stuff that's going up in D.C., and hopefully they're going to not pass that IU issue. But we do have a special guest, Matt Williams. He's a war hero and a singer-songwriter. But before I introduce Matt, for those of you who are first-time listeners to our program, please know that this show is not only a news show, it is also a call-in show that welcomes your views, comments, and questions. So you can call us at any time during the show at 1-6008. Again, that's 1-888-627-6008. And now before we do introduce Matt Williams, I'm going to ask that we play one of his songs, one of his early songs and a hot hit for Matt. It's called Without Friends.
Can't wait to find out where I'm going. I don't give a damn where I've been. I won't forget where I came from. I won't forget who I call friends. You stood beside me in bed. Times. You picked me up when I was down. The few of you who believed in me, the few of you who are still around. Where would I be without my friends?
Hey, Matt.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, I guess it's a happy belated birthday to you.
Yeah, 31.
You're an old man at 31.
I know it. I feel that way.
an old man with a new baby, right?
I do. I got a beautiful 10-month-old daughter.
That's awesome. What's her name?
London Rose Williams.
Perfect, perfect. Hey, Matt, that last song we heard, Without Friends, I know a lot of the songs that you write are songs that pretty much are experiences that you've gone through in the service and since you've been home. What was the basis for Without Friends?
I mean, it's pretty simple about that song, you know. It was all about, you know, when I got out of the military, there wasn't much that I had to turn to, you know. I couldn't find a good job to support my family. And I needed help with, you know, not only, you know, helping finding jobs and helping to figure out things I needed to do, but also I needed help just to talk to somebody, you know, from issues that I had from the service. And so that song just talks about, you know, who would you be without your family, you know, and then where would you be without your friends? It just stands true, you know, your real friends and your family members are the ones that are going to be there for you in the hard times.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing when you use the word family, not to get wordsmithing on everybody, but, you know, family actually means harmony. So when you're in harmony with people, you are within a family. You don't have to be a blood situation for a family. So I guess that's what you're kind of talking about, you and your fellow veterans. And, yeah. Now, Matt, you've had a kind of an interesting path. I know you're from Alabama, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Huh? But you're not a Roll Tide guy.
No, I am a War Eagle guy.
Yeah. By the way, Matt, I understand Florida State's beating the War Eagles 3-0 right now in baseball, but seem to hang on to that one for a while. Tell us a little bit about you know, when you got into the military. I think you went in out of high school. Why don't you tell our listeners about, you know, basically kind of your path into the service?
Oh, Rick, that was a great song. I'm looking forward to hearing the other three that we have for Matt this evening,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that really brings the stuff home. You know, I was just, Matt and I were at the Villages.
Hey, Rick.
Tell us a little bit about your path into the military. I believe you went in out of high school, right?
Yeah, I did. You know, I got out of high school, and I actually didn't even finish high school. You know, I got my GED. I was a troubled teenager, you know. I was rebellious and had an attitude about everything. And, you know, once I got the GED, there's not much you can do, you know. And I was actually supposed to go to the Marine Corps, and the Marines wouldn't, you know, accept me because I didn't graduate high school. And so I went to the Army, over to the National Guard first, and I went in and joined up, went to basic, and found that in basic, you know, I really did well with the military, even though the whole reason I went in is because I was, you know, a troubled teenager. You know, I had a problem with authority, and it surprised me because I did very well through basic. I learned a lot of, you know, discipline, and, you know, it was good for me when I went in because I needed to grow up. I needed something there that would help me have structure in my life, you know, and have a reason of doing things. And it made me grow up, and that was the biggest part. And I think that's the part I appreciated the most. And then, you know, once I got in, it was all, you know, learning new things and becoming a family to, you know, people that you'd never met in your life, but, you know, you were there for each other. And kind of like the song says, through bad times, and it was just perfect for me.
Well, you you excelled when you got into the service, if I recall correctly.
I did. I did. You know, for me, it was something that when I was growing up, that's something I was good at, you know, and I wanted to learn as much as I could to be the best that I could. And, you know, it's kind of like the old Army slogan, be all that you can be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I did just that, you know. I gave gave it all I had, and I wanted to be the best that I could be.
And then you got in, and you were deployed to Iraq, and then and also Afghanistan, right?
Yeah, in 05, I deployed with the National Guard unit from Enterprise. We deployed to Kuwait with our base camp, and then we actually ended up running convoys all through, you know, from North Iraq to, you know, South Kuwait at the port of Kuwait. And it was, you know, it was pretty fun. There were some crazy times, but it was neat, you know. And actually, you know, my Michael Tureen, who you know, yeah. He was my NCO at the time, and I've always, you know, chalked him up to being probably one of the best NCOs I ever had, because I learned so much from him, and he had a way of communicating to me that was so effective that I just, you know, I always just took it all in. But we did that, and in 2008, I went active duty military, and I got stationed at Fort Riley, Kansas, where I deployed with 118 Infantry back to Iraq. We were in Five Justice there in Qadamiya, Baghdad area. And, you know, there was pretty much, it was a big presence. You know, we always had to have presence patrols and show, you know, show a sign of force in the area and protection, you know, for the Qadamiya Shrine that was out there. That was a pretty cool deployment. I had some good friends out there, some good leadership, and then came back from that in 2009, and then in at the end of 2009, I got stationed at Fort Carson, Colorado, with 122 Infantry, where I deployed to Afghanistan, and that's when it got wild and the bad times really kicked in.
Yeah, we're going to get to that in a second. You may have heard June is PTSD Awareness Month. And yep. I know, you know, Dave and I have worked with you on your PTSD case. And I guess why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about what happened in Afghanistan, which essentially led you to where you are today in terms of struggling with PTSD. It's quite a story.
Well, I mean, it's it was, you know, I guess when you see the movies, if I can best explain it, you know, if you see the movies where there's a lot of dramatic things that are happening and you really wonder, could that ever really happen? Afghanistan happened. You know, we were on a, the quick story of this, we were on a dismounted combat patrol in Malajat, Afghanistan. And when we got to where we were going, we came under an IED attack, and I lost two of my guys that day, Staff Sergeant Casey Grahoviak and First Lieutenant Martin Aziska. It was, I guess, had it just been the IED, it might have been okay. But the biggest part was with Casey. Casey was alive for about 3.5 minutes after the bomb had went off, and he was standing on top of it when it detonated. And I think to hear the words that Casey was saying to me and seeing him the way he was, that is what really struck the core. Because that was, you know, it really was a scene that you would see in the movies, you know, and it, it'll always be with me. You know, and that on top of, you know, also losing Mark, both were really, really extremely good friends of mine. Casey was actually my mentor. I wanted to be just like that guy. I mean, he was so good at being an NCO. And it was, you know, the physical injuries that I sustained were one thing, and I got over them. You know, I still deal with a few today, but it's the emotional and, you know, the mental flashbacks of seeing that scene over and over and over again is what, you know, it took its toll after a while. And so,
you know, Matt, if I may, you know, a lot of people who might be listening to the show might not understand what PTSD is all about. And you're touching on it right now. You know, one of the reasons that you were awarded the 100% disability compensation for PTSD is that you know, we proved that you were unable to maintain employment. And, you know, you sound like a pretty, well, I know you for a long time now, but somebody might say, well, this guy sounds pretty good. You know what? Why can't he work? Tell us a little bit about, you know, how you kind of cope through the day with the PTSD.
Well, I mean, you know, when it, you know, as you refer to the unemployability, I mean, you're right. I'm a pretty sharp tech most times. But the unemployability part came into play after I got out. You know, when you get out here, and I tell all the veterans this, you know, and it's not to discourage them or degrade them for anything that they have been awarded in the military for things that they did. But, you know, when you get out here to civilian life, nobody cares about the medals you had on your chest. They don't have a clue, you know, and that's the biggest part is, one, they don't understand what you're wearing. You know, you tell somebody you have a Purple Heart or an Army Commendation Medal for Valor, they have no idea what that is. You know, you do because you earned it. But, well, you know, when I got out and started working, you know, finding jobs that would hire me, it was a battle because, you know, you get people out here that they talk down to you and it's just, you're the bottom of the barrel kind of guy. And, you know, when I left the military, I was in a position of authority. You know, I was like, hey, guys, I need this done. I need to do this. You know, kick rocks and go get it done. You know, and now it was when I got out, it was, hey, I need you to go do this, and you're going to do it right now. You're going to do it my way, and there's no other way. And I just couldn't deal with that, you know, and it would just bring this anger, you know, and I would just lose it, you know. And so that, when it came to the unemployability part, was one of the main reasons. And then, you know, dealing with the PTSD, you know, I mean, I guess everybody's experience is different. Mine, you know, kicks in pretty good on the anniversary dates of my guys, you know, August 30th. It kicks in pretty good. But for me, it was just, you know, there were always those flashbacks. There was the survivor's guilt. There were always, and there still is, the what ifs and why didn't I do this and why couldn't we have done that? And it's just a revolving door that you keep walking in and out of. So, I mean, it's just, you got to find ways. And I turned to music. You know, that's what I do best is I tell stories and I sing. And for me, that was my therapy, and it still is.
Yeah, speaking of your songs, why don't we play Doing Time With Me? Doug, can we hear that one?
Four walls have heard it all. The truth, the lies in between. Now they're telling me my every thought. And damn, it's driving me insane. Now how the hell'd I get here? 2 years on the inside. Was it really lies that put me in this cell? Or was it all my sins combined? And I'm facing right now the life, running circles in my mind. I guess this is where my troubles led me. Where I tried to do what's right, but I somehow crossed to the other side. And now I'm in here with my worst enemy. I'm doing time with me. When the lights go out, I close my eyes and try to figure out what went wrong. Guess I was blind
And I didn't realize that the road I walked was paved with lies, overseen by the devil's thoughts. And I'm facing right now the life, running circles in my mind. I guess this is where my troubles led me. I swear I tried to do what's right, but I somehow crossed to the other side. And now I'm in here with my worst enemy. I'm doing time with me. And I'm facing right now to lie, running circles in my mind. I guess this is where my troubles led me. Swear I tried to do what's right, but I somehow crossed to the other side. Now I'm in here with my worst enemy. I'm facing right now the life, running circles in my mind. Yes, this is where my troubles led me. It's where I tried to do what's right, and I somehow crossed to the other side. And now I'm in here with my worst enemy. I'm doing time.
Good stuff, Matt.
Thank you.
You know, I remember when you were down at the Villages a few weeks ago and you played that song, the room got real quiet.
Yeah.
Real quiet. And I know the story behind that, but why don't you share the story with our listening audience?
Oh, you want me to tell them?
Yeah, you tell them. It's your story.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that song, I'll get to the nitty-gritty. That song was written, I was sitting in jail in Lake County, Florida, and I was facing 2 years in prison, you know, for lies that were told, but I was sitting there. So obviously there was a choice and decision that I'd made in life that put me there, you know. And while sitting there, all you could think about, you know, is these four walls have heard it all, the truth, the lies, and in between, because they had. You know, and after sitting there for so long, it's almost like they started talking back to me. You know, they're like, okay, you're going to think this and you're going to think that. And, you know, it was just it was a struggle, you know, to fight a case that, you know, was one, built on lies, but two, you know, there was no evidence of anything. It was all he said, she said. And, you know, I sat there and fought that case. And it was a rough time, you know, and that's a lot of the things that contributed to me being who I was at the time. You know, because I couldn't control myself. I couldn't control, you know, again, it goes into the anger part of things. I couldn't control my anger. I couldn't control my emotions. I just couldn't control me. But, you know, I came out on top of that, you know, and I persevered through that, and I was resilient. And, you know, at that time, you know, going back to without friends, there you came, you know, you came and you were, you know, one of the friends in my foundation that helped me through a bad time and put me on a path to where I am now.
And, you know, what's amazing, Matt, is, you know, the spiral that you took coming out of the service, and like you said, you know, the bottom obviously was the 4 months that as far as I was concerned, that they the county shouldn't have had you in jail, but they did. And then you came out of it, and it seems like with the help of your friends and your music, it's been a big part of your recovery and where you are today. And it's a real credit to you. How much time do you spend a day writing songs?
Or working
on your craft?
Working on my craft. It varies, really. Before my daughter came along, I literally spent from wake up until I went to bed. You know, I would be sitting there with a pen and pad, you know, pen and paper, and I would write. And, you know, the beauty of it is not every time I write, it's not in the form of a song. You know, I may just sit down and write thoughts, you know, and feelings, and it may, to a normal reader, it's just a bunch of scattered words, you know, there's no rhyme or reason to it. But then I take that and I form a song out of it, you know, something that makes sense and something that's true. And then I sit down with my guitar or the piano and I write the music, you know, and then boom, I've got a song. You know, nowadays, you know, when my daughter is taking a nap, because I'm a stay-at-home dad, you know, and until I'm traveling and doing music. You know, nowadays when my daughter goes and takes a nap, I pull out my pen and paper and my guitar and I sit down and I write for, you know, an hour or 2 hours here and there. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a learning experience, but I think I'm getting better at it. So.
And you continue to draw upon your experiences from the service and now since you've met a lot of people in the music industry, I bet.
Absolutely. You know, it's I pride myself on writing about real stories, you know. You know, one of the things that was a huge factor of my down spiral when I got out of the military, one, I was in a horrible marriage. And two, you know, I moved to Tennessee after I got out of service, and that was June 15th of 2012. My dad passed away July 4th of 2012 from a heart attack. And, you know, it's kind of crazy because I look back and I'm like, you know what, man, on all days you had to go on the 4th of July, you know. But, you know, I guess it was his time. And, you know, that sent me in an unstoppable downward spiral, you know, when that happened, because it felt like the weight of the world was just breaking me down no matter what I did. So I always turn to the music and I tell real stories that everybody can relate to in some way. Even if you weren't in the service or you didn't have the exact same things happen that's in the song, there's something in your life that happened that you can relate to the song. And that's what I take pride in.
You know, Matt, you've told audiences in the past that when you were in the service and you were struggling with your PTSD, the military, and then I think after the military, they tried to put you in the group therapy, and then you even talked about medications that you essentially refused to take, and you've opted for your music. I mean, that's a pretty pretty bold move on your part, but it seems to have worked well for you. You know, I mean, how would, you know, what would you tell other veterans suffering with PTSD who, you and I both know, the VA tries to dump all sorts of medication on these guys in general?
You know, that's true. You know, first off, the problem I had, you know, I realized that I had a problem. You know, I was self-disciplined enough to know that I had an issue. And so I went voluntarily, you know, to mental health. And, you know, I looked at them. I said, listen, I need help. You know, I was sitting down and just drinking a bottle of Crown Royal a night like it wasn't anything, you know, because that's the only thing that, one, I could go to sleep and not wake up until I woke up. And two, you know, you get so drunk, you just don't remember anything, you know, in your conscious mind, but now in your subconscious mind, you know, obviously alcohol is not a good thing to do because it brings up a lot of bad things. But yeah, you know, I told them I need help. And at first, you know, they treated me like I was just, some average Joe that didn't want to go overseas. You know, they were like, oh, well, we'll just put you out. And I'm like, it's not why I'm here. You know, I'm here because I need help. I want to go back, but I need help. You know, and after a couple of weeks of letting them know that, you know, things, they started taking it serious. And at which point they, you know, they tried to prescribe me like 4 or 5 different medications. And my son Christian had just been born. And so I had a, you know, a newborn baby at home. And when I took the medications, I was like a zombie, you know. And I came back to him. I said, look, I can't do this. You know, I said, this is not working. You know, I said, I can't function. I can't do anything. And so finally, I just didn't take them. But, you know, I tell veterans all the time, you know, you have to be self-disciplined enough to understand that the medications they're giving you are addictive. You know, the painkillers they're giving you, they're addictive. You know, we have a huge dilemma with that right now between, you know, painkillers and heroin and stuff like that in the streets. You have to understand where you are in life and know what you need, and you need to ask for that specifically, you know. If they give you the cold shoulder, you can't let them do it. You know, you got to, once they turn around, you better tap them on the shoulder and, hey, I'm right here. I'm not going anywhere. And I did that, and I felt comfortable enough, you know, once I did that, to go back overseas, you know, January of 2011 to finish out my tour with my guys, because, you know, I promised them, hey, I'm going to get you home and I'm going to be here to do it. And at the state that I was in after August 30th, I was either going to get myself killed or get my guys killed. And I understood that. And so you just have to, you have to bite the bullet, and you've got to go ask for help, and you've got to get the help that you need. You know, you have to be persistent.
Wow. So you went, knowing that you had a problem, you went back in and deployed again. Why don't we hear Heaven and Hell, and then you can tell us all about that song. Doug, Heaven and Hell.
Well, I'm running low on gasoline, and this old highway ain't been no good for me. I don't know where I'm supposed to go, so I just sit back and pray the Lord will take my soul where it wants to go. A 1,000 miles between me and the nearest town, I set sail to find myself, and that ship is going down. And this hot asphalt is like the cold depths of the sea. And once you get lost, there's only one place it can lead. And that's a first-class ticket to a lonely grave, where the sins of my past are calling my name. And I'll have to answer to every damn one. I'll walk the line between heaven and hell, the path after that only God can tell. Now will I walk those golden streets, or feel the fire below my feet? There was nowhere left to run or hide, when the choices I had made came and ruined my whole life. I had to fight like hell to make my way back up. I'm still near the bottom, but all the pain has made me tough. I missed a first class ticket to a lonely grave, where the sins of my past are calling my name. And I'll have to answer to every damn one. I walk the line between heaven and hell, the path after that only God can tell. Now will I walk those golden streets, or feel the fire below my feet? Yeah.
south, I drive this road where there seems to be no light. I grit my teeth, stick to my pride, and push through the night. I'm just a man, and all my mistakes are what made me. And if I die right now, I know I'm prepared to see that first class ticket to a lonely grave where the sins of my past are calling my name. And I'll have to answer to every damn one. I'll walk the line between heaven and hell, the path after that only God can tell. Now will I walk those golden streets or feel a fire below?
Wow. Very good, Matt. Hey, we're getting kind of towards the end of the show, but you've had your short career, it's about 2 years now since you've been out there singing and songwriting. Tell us about some of the experiences you've had. I know you've done a lot of work with veterans groups.
Yeah, I do a lot of work with veterans here in Michigan at the Grand Rapids Veterans Home. A friend of mine, Johnny Ortiz, he's a boxing announcer, MMA announcer, and he's also a Marine vet. We do a lot of things for the vets there at the Veterans Home. We do pizza parties, and I'll give, you know, private concerts to them and stuff like that. And I've done a number of, big veteran events like the Bush Institute. I was the entertainment for them last year in Dallas at Las Colinas Golf Course. I've also worked with General Hammond, retired General Hammond, which he is the CEO and founder of, I'm going to lie to you now. I can't remember the name of it now. But anyway, we did a big thing with Reba McEntire.
Nice.
I've also worked
nice.
With Bowls of Honor, did a show in Orlando. And I've opened up for some big acts, you know, that are out there. And it's been a crazy ride, and it just keeps getting crazier.
Yeah, Rick,
have a Michael on line 4 if you want to take a call.
Sure, Michael.
Hey, Rick, how are you guys doing?
Good. You got a question for Matt? I know you know Matt, your friend of yours.
Yeah, I really didn't have a question for him per se. I was going to see if I could get him to see if he remembers Sutton, but first off, hey, Matt, man, how you doing?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great. Hey, listen, I just wanted to give y'all tell you thanks, brother. You don't know this or not, but you probably don't know this, but you do a lot of inspiring for a lot of people. I don't have near the life left in me that I used to, and brother, I think about our times quite a bit, and I listen to your music a lot whenever I need a little pick me up. And I just want to say I'm proud of you, brother. I'm really proud of what you've done with yourself, and proud of where you're heading. I pray for you guys every day, you and your family, and man, I don't know what I can say. You've done a lot for me. Rick, just to let you guys know that Matt was the only, besides one other person, the only two actual reasonable people in that whole company. And I just wanted to first of all say, Matt, I don't know if you ever think about Jody Holman a lot, but I'm sure if he knows what you're doing right now, he's probably sitting in the back room crying somewhere. And,
you know real quick, Mike, Jody actually came to my show in Alabama, and I saw him, and I hadn't seen him since, 2006. And his girlfriend at the time, actually, I had her propose to him during my show, during one of my songs. I called him up on stage and had her propose to him.
Well, man, I'm glad to hear he turned out okay. I thought he was just a little uptight most times, but look, I won't keep you guys too long, but it's good hearing your voice again, Matt. I appreciate y'all letting us know about what's going on with the IU guys. That's something I want to start keeping track of and kind of keep track of my congressman about. And Matt, I don't know if you remember the story or not, but if you do remember the Bob Dole, I don't know if you'd be interested in sharing a little bit of that with the guys.
Oh, man, it's been so long.
You remember Bob Dole?
Yeah.
Guys, I'll let y'all get back to it. But, Matt, man, I appreciate it, brother. You're an inspiration. And brother,
thank
you take
you,
care,
man.
Okay? Thank you.
Well, we're getting kind of toward the end there, and Matt, if you could, because I know when I started representing you, we just got an initial decision of 50% of your PTSD, and we had to fight, and we established all the medical evidence. We got you to some good psychologists, and we were able to prove that you indeed should receive 100%. What would you tell a veteran who's going through a similar struggle that you went through?
The same thing I always tell them. You know, it's a timely process. You know, it's not a, hey, hire an attorney, they throw in the paperwork for the appeal, and boom, you've got it. You know, it's a timely thing, and you have to, one, you got to get an attorney. You know, you can't do it by yourself because it's just not going to happen. You got to get proper representation and trust the guys to do their job, and you have to be patient. You know, it's just, it's a patience. It's a waiting game. That's all it is. You know, it took us, 2 years to do mine. And so because we filed my appeal in 2013 and I didn't get it until October of 2015. You know, so it's just a timely matter, and you've got to be patient and don't give up. You know, that's the biggest thing, is don't give up. And in the process of that going on, you've got to find something that makes you happy and that you enjoy doing, because that's the key to it.
Well, you certainly have, and I enjoy listening to your music, and from on a personal note, I'm very proud of you, Matt.
Thank you. All the time
you spend here at the house working on your music.
It's like the audience doesn't know the full thing. You know, you took me into your home, and you know, we sat there by the pool one day, and you said, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "I don't know. I'm good at military and music, and I can't do one of them, so I got to do the other." And you know, a lot of these songs that people are hearing, you know, on the show today, were written in your house. You know, written in your living room at the piano there, and you know, this is what started it. And you know, you said, "Follow my dream," and so here I am. I'm following my dream. So thank you.
Well, you certainly have, and we thank you for being on the show. And Matt, I guess Doug, let's go out with Southern Man.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah. Thank you.
My old truck's still running good. I got a little house in the woods. Woman, I'd give my life for. I work a hard 40 hours a week. My body hurts and I don't get much sleep. But that woman of mine is sure proud I'm her man. 'Cause I work hard for what I've got. I read my Bible and I trust in God. I'm a father to my children and a lover to my wife. I say yes, ma'am, and shake my elders' hands. Now I ain't perfect, but do the best I can, 'cause God made me a Southern man. Go without so my family don't. I help my neighbor when other folks won't. I don't expect anything in return. Tell the truth, don't settle for a lie. Love one woman, kiss her every night, and wake up every day to a smile on her face. 'Cause I work hard for what I've got. I read my Bible and I trust in God. I'm a father to my children and a lover to my wife.
to go. Hope I've given more, all than I ever took. I pray my boy grows up to be strong, and he understands I was hard all along to raise a southern man, even when I'm dead and gone. 'Cause I work hard for what I've got. Well, I read my Bible and I trust in God. I'm a father to my children and a lover to my wife. I say yes, ma'am, and shake my elders' hands. No, a southern man, yeah, yeah, God made me a southern man.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on VBSRadio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.